It was about 40 days ago that we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Today we celebrate Ascension Thursday, which we transfer to Saturday or Sunday. But we celebrate the event as we hear in the first reading how the apostles are looking on in amazement as Jesus Christ ascends body and soul into the glory of heaven, where he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. So the first question I want to ask is, why is that important? Well, the resurrection is important because that's when Jesus Christ conquers death. And so that makes our resurrection possible, that after we die, if we're incorporated into Christ, we'll come back to life and we'll rise with Christ. The ascension is important because how many of us would really want to live for all eternity in this fallen world? If we were to come back from the dead and have to spend the rest of eternity here in this fallen world, where we're separated from God, and where it's a fallen world where there's sin and where there's evil. And so the ascension, Christ ascends into the glory of heaven, and that makes it possible, if we're incorporated into Christ, that we'll ascend with Jesus Christ into a place that is untainted by sin, untainted by evil, and that's ultimately our hope as Christians, is not just to come back from the dead and to rise again, but to live with Christ, with God forever. And so what I want to spend today focusing on a little bit is what St. Paul talks about in the second reading, the hope that belongs to the call of Christ, in the glory of his inheritance. What is it that we're looking forward to in the glory of heaven? What is our hope as Christians? You know, what is this place that Jesus Christ ascends to? I think first we can say something that it's not. You know, heaven is not a place where we just get worldly delights or the things we like in this world just in an unlimited fashion. You know, like if we love to eat, heaven is not an all-you-can-eat buffet. You know, it's not just an extension of worldly desires. You know, so sometimes my students, when I taught high school, they'd ask me, will there be video games in heaven? It's like, sorry, kid, no Xbox in heaven. You know, you're out of luck there. You know, sometimes our self-indulgence in this world is desired, and heaven isn't just a fulfillment of that desire. Heaven is something different. So what is it that we enjoy in the glory of heaven? You know, one element of what heaven is about moral goodness, you know, where we delight in the moral virtues of the saints, those in heaven. So if we take one saint, take St. Elizabeth of Hungary, for example. You know, she was a woman who was a queen. She was born into wealth. You know, many times when people are born in a situation like that, they use it for their own self-indulgence. You know, they seek beauty or clothes or, you know, all the things that the world can desire. But she wasn't concerned about any of that. Even though she was a queen, what did she do with her time, with the wealth that she had? Well, she would convince her husband to give her all sorts of resources, and she would go around every day and take food to over 100 poor, hungry people within the empire. How's that for a queen? A queen who cares so much about her people that she would go out to those who were hungry and feed them. She convinced her husband they got resources to build a hospital, and they would tend to over 1,000 poor and sick people every day that would come to that hospital. After her husband died, she renounced all of her wealth. She embraced poverty. She joined the Third Order of the Franciscans. And she spent the rest of her life, you know, working with the poor and with the sick. You know, when we look at someone like Elizabeth of Hungary, this is a woman who radically renounced the things that this world could offer and dedicated herself so fully to acts of mercy and acts of charity. And so in the glory of heaven, we'll see people of that virtue and we'll be able to rejoice in their goodness. You know, that this isn't about something, you know, that indulges our own desire for selfish pleasures. This is about seeing the moral goodness in somebody else and rejoicing in that. Or if we look at a saint like Mother Teresa, you know, she served the poorest of the poor. You know, she dedicated her life in the slums of Calcutta to going through and picking up people who are dying and forgotten in the gutters. And she would take them in and give them a dignified place to die so that they would die in the arms of somebody who loved them and who cared for them. And she was a woman who was faithful even when the world would mock her and scorn her. She was unapologetically pro-life. You know, she would use different opportunities to speak publicly about that even when people ridiculed her. You know, she would face scorn when people would say, you know, forget about the work that you're doing. You need to be changing the government and the social structures. And she would ignore all that and remain faithful to Christ. You know, she was so faithful that she even had the courage to walk through a war zone. She brokered a peace agreement in the middle of a war. And her and some volunteers walked right through a war zone to get to an orphanage that was caught in the middle to rescue a bunch of disabled orphan children so that she could bring them to safety. You know, that's courage. That's fidelity. And it's virtues like that, that in the glory of heaven, there's the communion of saints. It's a whole community of people who are selfless, people who have spent their lives, you know, nurturing different virtues, whether it's the virtues of generosity, fidelity, purity. And it's a community in heaven where we delight in those virtues, a community where we don't have to worry about selfishness or disorder. And so the first element that we can look at in the glory, with the glory of heaven, is the selflessness and the virtue of the saints. And the second thing that we can look at as to what heaven is and what brings joy is something that's greater than the virtue of the saints, the greatest good, which is God himself. We call it the beatific vision. Beatitude means happiness, and it's the vision of God which brings us our ultimate happiness and our ultimate fulfillment. You know, why does seeing God bring us that happiness and fulfillment? Well, we see someone who's so much greater than the saints. You know, the saints and the virtues that they have are simply a small reflection of the much greater virtue, the infinite virtue of God himself. And so, in the glory of heaven, the saints enjoy the beatific vision. They see the one who created Elizabeth of Hungary, the one who created Mother Teresa, the God who saw the needs of his people in this world, and out of his mercy and out of his generosity, sent these saints into the world to show his love and his care for his people. The beatific vision is when we stand before the face of our very Creator, the being who brought us into existence. And it's only in the presence of our Creator that our existence makes sense. When we see the being who said, I am the one who loved you and brought you into existence, and I created you so that you could love me in return. It's in the beatific vision that we see who we truly are and the ultimate reason why we exist. And so on this feast day of the Ascension, it's an appropriate time for us to look to heaven, to look to what we were created for, to what our destiny is. It's not a place of self-indulgence. It's a place of moral virtue and goodness, and a place where the greatest delight is the vision of God himself. I think this can be a time for us that we can take a step back and look at our lives and ensure that we are striving for what is above, that our sights are set on heaven, that we're seeking the right things, the moral virtues that will bring beauty to the church in glory in heaven. And so I encourage you, especially if you find yourself, you know, not advancing on the path of holiness, to pick out a virtue and to begin to exercise that and to try to excel in that virtue. Whatever that virtue is, you know, if it's, you know, the virtue of diligence, fulfilling your responsibilities well, whether, you know, it's doing laundry for your family and making sure your work, you're committed to work, you know, those small acts are the path of holiness. But I encourage you to pick out a virtue, whether it's, you know, increasing your desire for holiness, increasing your fidelity to prayer, nurturing a deeper devotion to the Eucharist, greater acts of generosity. Pick out a virtue and make sure you're striving to nurture that virtue so that it can draw you closer to the glory of heaven. You know, the life of heaven doesn't begin in heaven. It begins here on earth. And we see that in the lives of the saints. It's the virtue that we nurture here in our time on earth that brings us to the glory of heaven.